This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we're halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan. Great to be here with you. Beautiful, beautiful day here in America's finest city. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindl, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. So when the show ended Friday, we all dispersed and went our separate ways. Did anyone watch the parade in L.A.?
I did not watch a second of the parade.
I unfortunately saw a lot of it because it was retweeted into my timeline. By many Dodger fans.
Did anyone catch my little joke at the end of the show on Friday?
I think I might have, but I don't remember it.
The Dodgers were in our chat, and they said they were going to the parade, and I told them, don't go downtown. They moved it to Santa Monica. They want to do it on the beach, you know, have those great, you know, shots of the ocean.
Yes.
So make sure you go to Santa Monica for the Dodgers parade. No, it really was downtown.
It was.
Around Dodger Stadium.
Well, I saw plenty of, you know, tweets coming in, and I will tell you, man, yeah, jealous. I was jealous as hell. I want to be at a World Series parade someday. You know, could have been us. Could have been us today.
I would like, and I put it out there on the record, I would like to go for my 50th birthday to the Padres World Series parade.
That's fun. Ooh, I'll be in England.
That's my fifth. No, you won't. Your 50th.
Oh, my birthday's in July.
Never mind. If the Padres have a World Series parade in July,
we have a lockout.
Something
could happen. And we deserve anything that anyone ever says about us.
Yeah, that's true.
Very wrong. I don't know how they ended up playing the World Series in like late June, early July, but in a legitimate 162 game season.
Yeah.
There's a chance that next November 3rd, when I turn 50, get to my calendar app here, that would be on Monday, November 3rd, 2025. You could see the Padres wrapping up Friday or Saturday, you know, their World Series, and then on Monday, we're having the World Series parade. That's what I want to do for my 50th birthday.
Dare to dream.
AJ Preller, Eric Grubner, Eric Kutsenda, if you could make my birthday wish come true, I would like a World Series parade in San Diego to celebrate my 50th birthday next year.
That'd be a good way to do it, man. There's no question about it. But I saw. You know, all in all, they look like everybody was peaceful and happy and getting along. And yeah, man, you watch it and you go, yes, I want that. I definitely want one of those here. But I could not in good conscience go home and turn the parade on and watch. I did see some speeches. I did see interesting.
I saw Dave Roberts dancing with Cube.
Yeah, I saved that screenshot, and that will be my only. He's
like twerking on him.
Well, he danced on, but he also like spread his cheeks and was dropping it. So I have that screenshot. So
that's shaking his booty.
Yeah, I have that. It's just going to be my only response, I think, for the next at least year. So I have that in the files, which was just fantastic.
I saw a clip of somebody fell from a high
Ooh, point. I didn't see that.
And was like laying motionless on the ground with blood coming out of his head.
Missed
and
that.
He was being robbed. Like literally going through his pockets while he was just laying there.
Opportunistic move. We saw the guy blow his hand off, but that was the night before. That was.
I saw somebody write on a street sign, D-O-G-D-E-R-S.
Dogders.
The Go Dogders.
Go Dogders.
Oftentimes they forget that middle D, and it's just D-O-G-E-R-S, Dodgers.
Yes.
But this one actually reversed the D and the G.
The Dogders one got me, and everyone tagged me and said, found another for the Ben and Woods Dodger fan spelling.
How do you not know how to spell the name of your own team?
I don't know. It'd be like leaving the D out of Padres, the Padres. And it just, he's on a street sign graffitiing, and he misspells it.
I mean, how would you misspell Padres? P-O-D-R-E-S?
Yeah, P-O-D-R-E-S.
I know, like, the New York papers, when they call them the Pods, they always spell it P-O-D-S, which
right?
is just bizarre.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't even imagine how you'd really misspell Padres.
It looked like fun, man. I'll tell you. It absolutely looked like fun. I definitely wanted
the doctors.
I wanted to get one of those for ourselves at some point.
So I did take your recommendation, finally, and I watched the comeback
over the
weekend. It's the Netflix three-part documentary about the Yankees, Red Sox. It really is the comeback from the three games to none deficit in 2004, but it starts in 2003. And the first season in which it ends with Aaron Boone hitting the home run to beat the Red Sox in Game 7 of the ALCS. And then they go in the offseason and, you know, sign Curt Schilling and add him to the team. And then progress all the way through that postseason in the playoffs and coming back from three games to none. What was fascinating, though, is seeing... Now, that had always been a rivalry, a one-sided rivalry, but see it come... to like its next level. That's where Red Sox Yankees really truly turned into what it became for the next, 10, 15 years. Clearly the best rivalry in baseball.
They had it in the 70s. In the 70s it lived. Thurman Munson and guys like that. I mean, there was a vitriol.
But it was still one-sided.
Teams. It was one-sided. And I told you guys, man, I had a T-shirt when I was a little kid. And it just doesn't get much better than the 1918. The chant. I mean, when you had that to lord over a team, when a whole stadium is just
19,
going
1918.
I mean, there's nothing you could say. So Red Sox fans, I think one of the coolest things about that documentary, if you haven't seen it, it's called The Comeback. It's on Netflix. It's so good. Do you agree with me here that there was a concerted effort by management, and I'm talking about Theo, and I'm talking about Jed Hoyer. And Terry Francona, there was a concerted effort to say enough. We're not doing this anymore.
Well, this is what struck me about watching it, is all I could think about were the parallels between the Red Sox and the Padres, and now with the Padres and the Dodgers currently. We're seeing, in some ways, the comeback playing out right now in real time. We don't know how it's going to end. We know how that story turned out. The Red Sox won their World Series.
And then won some more.
Ended their curse, won some more World Series. And it went on to be an amazing, rivalry, even more than it was before.
They won 2004 and then two more after that?
Yeah, won 2004, 2007.
And like 13? And,
yeah, sometime in the
13. Yankees did win one in
2009.
And then the Sox won another
one. But in some ways, and I'm not a fan of Tom Werner. He did a terrible job as owner of the Padres. I didn't know that much about John Henry. And I don't think John Henry is a Peter Seidler. But in terms of his desire to win, when he came in as the new owner of the Red Sox, and it was no longer just, hey, let's put a competitive team on the field. Let's fill up Fenway Park like we always do. And if we win, great, like the previous owners had done. He said, no, we need to win. We need to do what it takes to win. And they invested in the team more than they had ever done before, added players that they had not previously done before, and did what Peter Seidler did with the San Diego Padres to turn them into a force that could actually compete with the New York Yankees in that division, a team that won the division every single year. And the Red Sox were finishing second, like, what was it, 6 years in a row that they finished second and kept finishing second to the Yankees. And I just couldn't help but look and see, We're watching this kind of play out. Now, you know, coming back from 2-1 deficit like the Dodgers did this year is not 3-0, but they have their chapter. Padres had their playoff chapter in 2022 when they, you know, slayed the dragon and got their first playoff victory over the Dodgers. And it seems like we're still in perhaps the rising arc of what the LA Times, you know, over the weekend, I think on Friday,
Bill Plaschke, yeah,
said is now the best rivalry in baseball. Has passed the Yankees and the Red Sox, and the Padres Dodgers is now the best rivalry in baseball. And while nothing is a consolation prize to, you know, getting knocked out of the playoffs and not winning the World Series, it's pretty cool to have a team that's part of the best rivalry in the sport. I've never had that before as a fan of any sport, and now I feel like I do. Like,
well, that's not little brother saying that either. That's Bill Shaken, and that's a lot of the players talking about it too.
And people all over the country, all of a sudden, they want to see Padres Dodgers. Not just because it's two great teams that are filled with stars, but there's drama off the field. The Manny and Dave Roberts. There's the intrigue. The things that made Yankees Red Sox. The whole A-Rod, I mean, I had forgotten the whole, you know, the Red Sox had planned to trade for A-Rod.
He was going
to send Manny Ramirez off, and this was all like a
done
deal.
It was done. The players' union scratched
Gene Orza, like, said, no, you can't adjust A-Rod's contract. This is done. And then the Yankees, because Aaron Boone had hurt his ankle playing basketball, they decided, okay, we're going to go and trade for A-Rod now instead.
Nuts.
And he was going to go to the Red Sox, went to the Yankees instead. Looked like the Yankees were unbeatable at that point. They, of course, take that 3-0 series lead in the 2004 ALCS, and then the Red Sox come back, and it's history. But we're kind of watching that now, and I can't wait to see the next chapter of Padres-Dodgers and the Netflix documentary and, you know, 15 years about what we're living through right now.
Well, and, you know, the only thing that you fear is that because the Dodgers hadn't won a ton of World Series, that what you hope is this isn't the Dodgers turning into the Yankees of the 90s, right? Where the Dodgers rip off, you know, four in the next 7 years or something, and we have to wait until 2045 when Leo Dallas DeBreeze is 36 years old to go out and win a World Series finally.
I know you were a Yankees fan. I honestly had to remind myself, oh, yeah, they didn't win the World Series after Aaron Boone hit that home run
Correct.
And sent them to the World
they
Series.
They did not win the World Series. Like, they lost to the Marlins.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is insane. You think about it. The Marlins have a chip.
It's not how it was scripted in Hollywood, for sure.
Definitely not. So I think it's such a good doc, but I think the thing, and I think I mentioned it briefly at the end of the show on Friday, one of my favorite parts was Curt Schilling's a free agent, and he literally said, I want to pitch for the New York Yankees. I want to be a Yankee. I want to pitch in Yankee Stadium. That's all I want. Theo, Jed Hoyer, go over there on Thanksgiving. They sit down, and they're like, look, man, anybody can join the Yankees. We have something special. We need somebody that has the guts to say, you know what, F those guys. I want to go pitch against them. So they sit and they have Thanksgiving dinner.
So well, then Thanksgiving 20,003.
Yes, 20,003. Sorry.
I have too many zeros in my
I couldn't let
ears.
That slide.
So they sit down. I don't know what Mrs. Schilling cooked up, but whatever it was, it did not agree with one Jed Hoyer. So they're sitting there at dinner, and Jed Hoyer's like, he's white, he's gray. He's
instant
food poisoning. And he's dying. And he can't leave because they're trying to close
Theo
him.
Theo is like, you can't go anywhere until we lock him up. We've got to get this done.
Because leave it to like a guy like Schilling to be like, well, I was going to sign, but your AGM just walked out on my Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going to the Yankee. Right? Like, you just can't risk it. There's no big moves. So he's sitting there, and he's gray.
This is future Padres general manager Jed Hoyer at the time.
And he's sitting there just... Finally, Schilling at like midnight was like, you know what, man? Screw it. Let's go. Let's go beat those Yankees. He signs the deal. Hoyer walks outside and just into his bushes. It was incredible. An incredible story. But I think that the point is getting players that say, yeah, man, anybody can join that team. anybody can sign and join that team. A guy like Roky Sasaki, Roky, anybody can go pitch there, you know, but coming here to be a part of a team that has the potential and the core to actually do some damage and potentially win a World Series, that, and to bring, I think most importantly, because the Red Sox did have a World Series, Ben, but it was in 1918. Imagine being part of the team that brings San Diego its first World Series. If that's special to you, if you're that kind of player, come here and help us do that. I think that's pretty cool.
Meanwhile, is there a worse feeling than feeling nauseously sick but unable to get away?
To go
to get to a bathroom, to get to your bed, whatever you need to do, and you have to just gut it out, pardon the pun, for an hour, whatever it is, however long it is, and how miserable you are. You know, excuse yourself for like a minute or two at a time. Just like go and lie down on the bathroom floor for a second just to make it through whatever you need to make it through.
I would have, if it were me, you know me, I would have told Theo, I'm leaving. If you can't close this on your own, that's on you. I've soiled myself and I'm going to throw up all over myself.
Wait, you're any done, longer, he's definitely not going to sign.
When you're
with
done
us.
With the negotiations, you'll find me laying on Kurt Schilling's front lawn dead.
I'll be in our car with the seat leaned back and the air condition on, probably with a diaper full. Like, leave me alone, man. I don't care. At that point, you're so sick, you're like, I don't care about Kurt Schilling. I don't care about anybody. I just need to be. Get this out.
You ruined Kurt Schilling's $30,000 rug or whatever.
Right. Yeah, like, bro, I'm going to do more harm than good here. Okay, let me out of here, please. And Schilling's like, where are you off to? I just soiled myself. Do you want me to stay? Bro, it's so good. But I watched this thing, man, and the inner workings of Theo and Nomar, and I can't tell you. It's so freaking
Nomar's
good.
Sensitive.
Bro.
Wow.
Nomar.
I mean, he, like, called into a radio show.
That was imagine
because
answering
the phone.
He was
so offended that they even thought about acquiring A-Rod. A-Rod.
He was mad.
He was so mad about it, he actually called into Boston Sports Talk Radio to talk about how offended he was by the Red Sox.
It's insane.
It's incredible. It's
such good theater, guys. It's really well done. Everybody's got Netflix. Check it out. It's so good.
See, the young Don Orsillo.
How about the other?
Can you imagine if Fernando Tatis Jr. had called in when the Padres signed Xander Bogaerts and
he called in
to talk about how offended he was?
We would have loved it.
That the Padres had signed Xander Bogaerts.
We would have been like, hey, us too. We don't get it.
I'm like, hey, can you make that a promo?
Can you make a promo out of that? How about the other, like, what's with the stars in Boston being like, hey, Poppy, you got to get me out of here. Manny Ramirez is like, get me away from this team. I want nothing to do with it. Trade me, Poppy, trade me. And here's Jed Hoyer going, are you kidding me? Like, what are we doing? It was just.
And Terry Francona kind of saved the whole thing
because apparently he's his legend, dude. The
most agreeable, personable manager of all time.
That's his legend right there,
and
man.
He's back in the game, of course, with the Cincinnati Reds this offseason.
Crazy stuff, dude. Really, really worth a watch, man. It goes by. It's three parts. It goes by like that. You can't get it.
Really good stuff. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back after traffic, shout out to his family, and I will turn the floor over to Woods to impart a little musical and historical knowledge on us in our next segment. Coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what you were most excited about.
Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Soul Bossa Nova.
That's Ben's like, oh, he's the guy that did that. Yeah, among other things. Lost a titan in the music world. Quincy Jones passed away at the age of 91. One of those guys that lived.
Arguably maybe the biggest titan of the music world.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Maybe not the most famous name everybody, but...
I'd say there's some shoes to fill now for the next producer, composer. Quincy Jones, 91 years old. He worked with all of them. He worked with Frank Sinatra, worked with Ray Charles. Of course, Michael Jackson, he produced Thriller. He produced Off the Wall, sold millions and millions and millions of records. 28 Grammy Awards in his career. Just a titan.
You were obviously a music DJ and know more about the music business, I think, than most. What does a producer actually do?
You can't even quantify the brilliance of, if you have the right one and the good one, and the person that knows how to bring the best out of you and your sound, it's a game changer.
Sometimes they're called engineers, but engineers, like, and producers, idea.
Ish. But a producer like Rick Rubin, a producer like Quincy Jones,
Phil Spector, like Wall of Sound and Motown, the sound, like they create the sound, like for sometimes an entire genre of music.
That's exactly right. And what he did for Thriller, what he did for Michael Jackson's career. I mean, yeah, Michael Jackson probably would have still been very famous because he was already very famous before he worked with Quincy Jones. But Quincy took him into the stratosphere, into the next level. And one of the funnier stories of all time is the solo on Thriller is played by Eddie Van Halen. And Eddie Van Halen, his band Van Halen, had an album out called 1984, and it was a huge, huge smash. And so Quincy Jones calls Eddie Van Halen and says, "You want to play this solo?" And Eddie's like, "Who are you? I don't know you. I'm not talking to you. Quincy Jones, I've heard your name. No, I'm not doing it." He's like, "Bro, come play this solo. You'll love this kid, Michael Jackson." So Eddie Van Halen shows up, shreds this solo. Well, that takes Thriller into the next level. And then Eddie's brother was like, "Why would you go play on a record that is now number one over our record? You absolute moron. Why would you go help a guy that is, he keeps us from the top spot?" But Quincy Jones had the idea, and that's what he was, man. He was an idea man. He was a composer. He was a musician. He was all of it, and an icon.
The idea of composing music from scratch.
It's too much.
Is almost incomprehensible, I think, to a non-musical person like
myself.
I'm
a musical person, and you still can't comprehend it. And what a good producer can do is really show you what you are capable of. And that's what Quincy Jones did for hundreds and hundreds of artists. And he's just... all genres, man. He had his fingers in all genres. He worked with, back in the day, worked with guys like Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington. He worked with rappers like Snoop Dogg and LL Cool J. Worked with Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Chaka Khan, Queen Latifah. He did the We Are the World. That's all him. I mean, that was his kind of brainchild. And he got all those guys together and girls together, and they did that and, you know, raised a ton of money. He was an activist. He was just a titan in the music industry. So we will do it like we do it here on Ben and Woods.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So shout out to his family.
Paulie will like this because Paulie doesn't like the Beatles. They asked Quincy Jones his opinion on the Beatles. He goes, "Nice dudes, really bad musicians." He said, something to the effect of, and he was ripping on Ringo Starr, the drummer. He goes, "Man, we had the simplest beat for him to do, and it took him forever." If I said, "Man, go ahead, just leave, come back, get refreshed, come back and try to do it later." He had one of his jazz guys come in, do the beat on the record. Ringo came back and goes, "Oh, that actually sounds pretty good." He goes, "Yeah, because it wasn't you. We got somebody else in here to do it." He was fearless, man. He was fearless. Oh, he played, Eddie Van Halen played that solo on Beat It, not Thriller. But the album was Thriller. But yeah, it was just, he was just one of those guys. Very, very outspoken. Knew what he was doing. Legend.
He even composed the theme to Sanford and Son.
Just one of the best.
TV theme songs, definitely one of my areas of expertise.
Yep.
And that is definitely one of the better ones.
That's one of the best. Is that the bum bum bum? So good.
Yeah,
he was great.
All right. Well, a titan A lot of shoes to fill on that one, for sure. This hour on Ben and Woods, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild, smoky chipotle heat. Or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce for a rich blend of spicy and tangy peppers. Stop by your local San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. We talked a little bit about Ha-Sun Kim on his contract option and hitting free agency. Had some other decisions in Major League Baseball.
Pretty big
as
one.
Well, yeah, the free agent market is going to be is pretty hot, especially with pitchers, which the Padres are in the market for pitching this offseason for sure. We'll talk about some of those big calls, decisions, how the Padres might factor in coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Now, depending on what the Padres are willing to spend this offseason, Woods, there certainly are pitchers available on the market. Quite a few of them, actually, and maybe even more after today, as the New York Yankees have a big decision to make now. Had more opt-out decisions over the weekend, but it's going to be a very intriguing off-season pitching market for free agents coming up, and the general manager's meetings now underway. Probably some preliminary negotiations with agents getting started. We'll talk about what that market is looking like and some of the big decisions that were made over the weekend right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So one of the most interesting decisions today involves the New York Yankees, Woods, and Gerrit Cole, who opted out of his contract on Saturday, but it wasn't a full opt-out. He didn't have the authority to just say, hey, I'm out and I'm hitting free agency. The Yankees now have like a counter decision to make. And if they would like to guarantee an additional year at $36 million to the 4 years and $144 million that were already left on Gerrit Cole's contract, they can lock him back into the New York Yankees for five more years. And I think the general consensus is Yankees coming so close, they don't have a great pitching staff behind him, that they're going to have no choice but to tack on that extra year to Gerrit Cole's contract and keep him in the fold. I'm going to predict the opposite. I think the Yankees are going to look coldly and with a clear head about the situation and go, Gerrit Cole is 34 years old, and while he is one of the best pitchers in the game, this is our chance to get out from the probably worst 5 years of his deal rather than lock ourselves in to an extra year at the end of that contract at $34 million a year or somewhere around 36. $36 million a year and go, why don't we go spend that money on a younger pitcher who might actually be less expensive than Gerrit Cole and lock him in to a long-term deal, whether that's Corbin Burns, whether that's Blake Snell, whoever. I just don't know how it makes sense for the Yankees to just say, oh, yeah, no doubt about it. We just have to pay Gerrit Cole that much money. You think I'm wrong? The Yankees don't have a kernel budget like I am. They don't think that way.
They do. His name's Hal Steinbrenner. Yeah. He's more kernel budget than his dad was, certainly. I don't know if you're the New York Yankees, you don't just pick it up and just keep moving on with Gerrit Cole. You brought him in to be an ace. He has been an ace for you. Won a Cy Young last year. He had two playoff starts. He gave up one earned run. You lost both games. Partly because he didn't cover first base on one, but he really pitched well. It's 1 year, 36. You are the New York Yankees. You can absolutely afford an aged Gerrit Cole at $36 million a year. You can. Again, this isn't, if this were the Padres, Ben, we may be in here this morning going, oh my God, he opted out. Holy crap. This actually might be good for us. You can afford that mistake, I think, if you're the New York Yankees. If it ends up being a mistake. Now, you can't get to the World Series, in my opinion. If you're a Yankees fan, you can't get to the World Series and go, cool, let's let him go. And then let's go focus our sights
pitched
his tail off. He really did. And again, want a Cy Young for you.
If you only had the money, though, to keep Gerrit Cole or sign
Juan Soto. You have money to sign Cole, Burns, Snell, and Soto. You're the Yankees. There's no excuse. It's just like the Dodgers. If they want somebody, they can get him. Those two teams have carte blanche to do, and Steve Cohen's Mets can do whatever they want. And I'll tell you, man, I don't know. Like, my gut tells me they'll pick it up. I think they'll pick it up. Now, you can look at that and say, it's, yeah, obviously, nobody wants to pay $36 million for a guy that's going to be, what, 38 at the time, 39 at the time? But what happens in the next 4 years? Who do you get to replace him? I think you can afford those mistakes. The Dodgers could afford paying Trevor Bauer $40 million for years that he didn't pitch, right? Every team that is in the hunt like that, that has the kind of funds that they do, they can afford those mistakes. They can wear those. They can absorb it, and it doesn't destroy them. If you win a World Series, nobody cares about that year, especially the New York Yankees, right? Like, they just, if you can win that World Series, and you got fairly close this year, I don't know that Howell will do it, but I think something tells me you can't let Gerrit Cole walk away from that staff.
So Gerrit Cole could be joining the free agent class this offseason, depending on what the Yankees do.
He could
do.
Be. Yeah, and that's, we'll know that in the morning, right?
We will know that by the end of the day. Blake Snell is joining that free agent class. He opted out of his deal with the Giants over the weekend and will become a free agent. He joins Corbin Burnes, Max Fried, Jack Flaherty, Yusei Kikuchi. There's some others, Nathan Eovaldi, that are on the free agent market. There are a lot of pitchers available, and the San Diego Padres need starting pitching, especially with Joe Musgrove out for 2025. They will be active, at least shoppers. Doesn't mean that they're going to be buyers, but they will be shoppers for starting pitching this offseason. And there's a lot of different ways the Padres can go. Obviously, you know, the luxury tax and money is an issue to the Padres. At least we believe it's a current concern. Doesn't mean they can't go over the luxury tax. But in my mind, I don't think an extension for Dylan Cease is all that likely from the San Diego Padres. He's got 1 year left. And you can always keep him and get as much as you can out of him and just let him go. The Padres have certainly shown the willingness to do that. They did it with Blake Snell last year. They've done it with other players. They're not afraid to just let guys play out their contracts and let them go. But I would not be surprised at this point if Dylan Cease was traded and that the money you would have spent on his arbitration contract, you know, $16 to $18 million, is reallocated toward free agent starting pitching this offseason. Maybe even a reunion with Blake Snell this offseason. Would not shock me.
That wouldn't surprise me even a little bit. I'm sure.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, he already likes that
idea. He likes
it
already. And,
come on.
And Blake thrived here. He did. And look, I know he could be frustrating at times to watch. But he won a Cy Young for you here. He is the kind of guy that can.
Dylan Cease frustrating to watch sometimes.
Yes, you can piece those together. Dylan King.
No.
Michael Cease.
Michael King. Nothing bad to say about it.
Blake Snell, despite having a horrible first few starts and, you know, pitching through injuries, still ended up with a 3.12 ERA, a 12.5 strikeouts per nine innings. He's better than any of those other guys. Corbin Burnes was 8.4.
He is that guy that can 1,000% neutralize a team in October. We've seen it. I mean, he can do it. He can neutralize any team that he faces. If you get just good Blake Snell, he can neutralize a team. And like you said, very slow starter. Did him no favors last year going to San Francisco with no spring training. I mean, you knew it. Everyone in the world called that. But once he got locked in, forget it, dude. He was disgusting. He's disgusting when he's right. So I don't know, man. I would not mind seeing Blake Snell back here either. At the perfect world, you'd love to have Cease, King, and Blake Snell. And if Blake Snell's just money and you can pay money and he wants to come back here, I'm telling you, dude, that rotation could be absolutely disgusting.
Cease could also reload you a little bit in terms of giving you trade prospects if you want to acquire other pieces that you need, whether it's during the offseason or at the trade deadline. Padres seem like they don't want to trade Ethan Salas or Leodalis DeVries. AJ Preller will tell you there are a lot of other good prospects in his system. We don't know any of them, though. I mean, maybe there's other teams that are salivating over.
You have some pitchers.
Some guys that we don't. I just don't see them headlining like big trades, though. They're not dealing from a position of strength anymore in their minor league system. a Dylan Cease trade could accomplish a couple of things in this offseason. It's not guaranteed to happen. There's a good chance that Dylan Cease still shows up and pitches for the Padres next year, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't a hotly talked about commodity at the GM's meetings and at the winter meetings this offseason.
It's tough, man, because you're talking about a guy that's, what, 180 innings? And you trade a guy like that, and you think you're being smart because you only have him for one more year. I mean, look, you can also just keep him and plug 180 innings in, and a pretty good pitcher. And I know his postseason didn't go the way that we wanted it to, but you plug 180 innings in with a 3-what ERA. Dylan Cease, we're not in the playoffs without him, certainly.
I was going to say, we had this conversation a lot with Soto, and I understand it's different pitcher versus a position player, but if you are all in to win again in 2025...
Which you absolutely should be.
You have to be. Can you still say that if you trade Dylan Cease?
That's
now,
the thing.
You can trade him. If things don't go well in the first half of the year,
then you can
absolutely move him.
Yep,
then.
100%.
But I don't know that you can tell me, especially with the Musgrove injury... Hey, we're all in to win in 2025. We have World Series aspirations.
We just traded Dylan Cease. Save
but
some
you
money.
Would have said that last year. How can you trade Juan Soto and say you're trying to win?
But expectations changed, as you know. Expectations changed midway through the season. Expectations have changed now. Now that you got so close, my expectations have changed. You know, certainly, like I told you last week, this is not a team I'm going to be looking at and going, 81 and 80. It better not be. I'll tell you that. If spring training rolls around and I'm going, they look like an 81 and 81 team, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Conversely, you get Yu Darvish, Michael King, and Dylan Cease, and then go out and go past the luxury tax
and
go
get Blake Snell.
That tells me, all right, this team is very serious about trying to bring home a championship in 2020.
Yeah, man. I I'm fine just riding him out for 180 innings and see if we can win a World Series. I really am. I know he's a chip, but... It's tough to take that many innings away, especially with Joe being out for the entire year.
He's a chip, but he's not Juan Soto.
Right, he's a chip, but he's not Juan Soto.
Now, if you don't go that route, there are other pitchers available out of those top five. There's also Nathan Eovaldi, Shane Bieber coming off of Tommy John surgery, but a potential to be reunited with Ruben Niebla if the Padres reunite with Ruben Niebla as well.
A lot of reuniting going on here.
Well, it's because it feels so good.
It does
when
feel
you reunite,
so good. So. It really does.
Really might as does. Well. So there are more, and AJ, he's got plans and sub plans and backups to his backup plans, and I'm sure all of these things are being discussed behind closed doors at Petco Park about what the Padres could do pitching wise this off season. I do think whatever they do, one guy who's going to be a secret key, not secret key to next season. I think Randy Vasquez is going to be a big guy next year. And if he has a good season, solves a lot of problems for the Padres at the back end of the rotation. If he doesn't take a step up and, continues to be no more than a sixth starter, Padres will continue to kind of scuffle at the back end. As a Vasquez, who's that guy? I would love to see Randy Vasquez take one more step forward and really be a solid,
be a starter.
Starter with a, 3.5 ERA type guy would be really, really good.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And I think he has it in him. We saw flashes that Randy Vasquez is probably not going to be a Cy Young Award winner, but could be like a 3 or 4 starter in Major League Baseball and a guy that you can depend on. And if the Padres get, 4 starter out of Randy Vasquez and get 22 to 26 starts from him next year, that could go a long way towards solving a lot of their pitching issues.
Well, and this is interesting, and I like this take from Dalton in the chat. Dalton starts and says, why not go over the luxury tax? Record attendance and merch not putting enough money in the owner's pockets. And, to that point, fandom is really, it is quid pro quo. It really is. Is it not? It's, hey, man, we showed up for you. It's time. It's just kind of this back and forth every year. It is quid pro quo.
But the Padres, you saw the you pointed out, and I don't think we talked about it, the graphic last week. The teams that put the most back into their franchises, and the Padres were near the top of that list of the teams that put the most revenue back into their payroll.
It was called the Scrooge Index.
Yes.
And where is it?
The scroogiest of teams obviously were teams like the A's,
the Rockies.
And the Rockies that don't spend, they make revenue, they don't spend it on their players. Padres were on the other end of the spectrum. I mean, obviously they did well with attendance. The lack of a TV deal is so crippling to the Padres financially. When the Dodgers are getting over $300 million a year, $350 million a year before they do anything, before they sell a ticket, a hot dog, a hat, they've got that in the bank, $350 million. I don't know what the Padres have with their TV deal. I think it starts at zero, you know, with, that they have to start the year, you know, automatically from their TV deal. That's a huge, huge hurdle that they have to overcome every year. They basically have to sell out just to kind of, I think, you know, scratch by and break even. I don't think the Padres are making tons of money right now.
Okay, here we go. The Scrooge Index, so the higher your team Scrooge Index is, the worse that it is. No, the lower. The Rays revenue was $280 million. Their payroll was 89. The Athletics revenue, 241. Their payroll was $81 million. Like, those kind of things are
yeah, these revenue numbers are subject to, I don't know where they get them because, you know, the books aren't completely open, but.
So the Mets, their revenue was 441. They spent 450. So they actually were 102% over. Padres were in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They were 11. Tied for 10, actually, with the Rangers and the Giants. As far as revenue brought in, money spent on payroll. So, yeah, they do put a good chunk back into it. But there is a quid pro quo that goes on in sports fandom. And it's if you put an exciting product on the field that has players that I want to go see, I will then give you my money. I will buy merch. I will do what I have to do. If you don't, I won't. That's just how sports works, you know, for a lot of fans. Baseball's got me. It's got me. It's got Paul. It's got Benny. But for those fans, you want to keep them coming back to Petco Park every night. There needs to be a good product on the field.
It's funny because the Mets seem like they were fruitlessly spending the money just a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, you're spending tons of money. No one even wants to show up for your product. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're in the National League Championship Series.
Look at the disparity in revenue, though, guys. The Mets, with their revenue of $441, the Dodgers' revenue was $637 million. They spent $428. The Braves, with $521 million in revenue, spent $294 million. I mean, these numbers are staggering. The Yankees, $720 million in revenue. You're telling me they can't pick up a $36 million a year option for Garrett Cole with $720 million in revenue? Bananas.
Michael in chat says, at the All-Star break, Rob Manfred said the Padres have about 40,000 paid subscribers to their TV feed every year. So, what's that, about 120 a year? That's 4.8 million.
Excellent.
That's 345 million less than the Dodgers are getting from their TV money. It's nothing. It's nothing. That covers Wandy's salary this year. Great.
Covers his opt-in.
Your TV deal.
All right, guys.
Wandy
is covered. We are covered with Wandy.
39 other guys to worry about now.
Yeah. Kind of makes you not want to watch baseball sometimes when you read these numbers. But, listen, you still got to win the games. So you figure it out.
Snapdragon Stadium has a big problem. Paul is going to talk about it in the Rindle Report. It's coming up next year, final hour. Ben Woods, the 97.3 The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.